The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey folks, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. With Memorial Day coming up, what better way to celebrate than by buying a soldier a shower? Go to Bubble Genius right now and purchase either the Buy a Soldier Soap Set, the FUBAR Massive Military Bath Bar, or the Buy a Soldier a Powder. That's talc-free powder with tea tree oil and zinc oxide for extra absorbency. And Bubble Genius will ship your purchase directly to a soldier stationed overseas. Only $1, $12, or $7 each at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Morning, Pee-wee.
Little Francis.
Today is my birthday, and my father said I can have anything I want.
Good for you and your father.
So guess what I want?
A new brain.
No, your bike. What's so funny, Pee-wee?
It's not for sale, Francis.
My father says everything's negotiable.
Pee-wee. I wouldn't sell my bike for all the money in the world. Not for $100 billion, $1 trillion.
Then you're crazy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
No, I'm not. You are.
No
way. Knock it off.
Cut it out.
Oh, shut up, Pee-wee.
Why don't you make me?
Why don't you make me?
Because I don't make monkeys. I just train them.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I know words. I have the best words.
It is Thursday, May 12, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That's Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. If you need a lawyer, better call Bo. Or you could just head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. You don't even need a telephone for that. Or you could just, for convenience sake, click the link on the podcast page. It's a picture of Charles Bowen talking on a telephone anyway. As if he's talking to you after you've called Bo. Yeah. All right, I'm in a weird mood today. What can I say? Got a bunch of Trump stuff to talk about. Why? Because my attempt
because
to...
Because he's an idiot.
Because he's an idiot, and my attempt to crawl up Trump's ass continues in earnest. I basically decided early this week that my new mission in life between now and November is going to be to relentlessly hector Donald Trump. For a wide variety of reasons. One, because he deserves it. Two, because, and we, of course, started this on Tuesday. I'm not breaking any news if you've heard Tuesday's show. But one, because he deserves it. And two, because his supporters deserve it. And three, just because it's fun and I want to get sued. I want Donald Trump to try to sue me. Or at least want to bait him enough that he, like, retweets something that I write on Twitter or something like that. Because what better way to fight a Twitter troll than to become one yourself? I don't think Hillary Clinton should do it, obviously. I think the Democrats have to remain adults. But since I'm not, you know... I'm not a member of the Democratic leadership. I think I can kind of get away with it. Just going, you know what? I just decided, throw the gloves off. I'm just going to get totally ad hominem with him. I'm going to get ad hominem with his supporters. I'm just going to try and to attempt to shame them, to just ridicule and shame them. And my end goal here and this, I think, should be the end goal of anyone with a brain in their head between now and November, is to not only defeat the Republicans in November, but to completely humiliate them.
Yeah, I read your banter magazine piece.
Yeah,
and that was really good. That was a really great take on it. That yes, they shouldn't just be beaten. They need to be. I mean, everyone has to come out in force because they just deserve to be utterly humiliated. They deserve to just have their asses handed to them in a way that just makes them cry.
That's
that
right.
That makes Donald Trump, like you said, that makes Donald Trump actually like crawl into a hole somewhere
I know.
And not emerge.
Well,
for
you
a
know,
very long time, if ever.
It's not just about policy to me. It's about what they've done to the discourse over the last 20 years, since the invention right. of Fox News Channel and before it, AM talk radio, which has been strengthening over the years. It's completely destroyed like 50% of the body politic in the United States. And the problem is with that is that it's infecting millions upon millions of people. I mean, over 10 million people. I don't know the exact count, but over 10 million people voted for Donald Trump in the primaries. Millions more, probably close to about 50 million people, will vote for Donald Trump in the general election. I'm pretty much assuming, therefore, that this is going to be kind of a 50-50 race. This is going to be a nail-biter race. This is just what I'm seeing from the standpoint of, you know, May 12th, 2016, looking way ahead to November. We all have to be in that mindset, though, that this is going to be a tight-as-hell race. We can't take anything for granted. I don't care what poll comes out, what sort of electoral math is noted by Nate Silver and others. Doesn't matter. We should all anticipate that Donald Trump and the Republicans, who are now rapidly congealing, they're rapidly unifying, the wagons are circling around Donald Trump, and they are going to put up a big effing fight between now and November.
Of course, because that's the thing, and that to me is such a, it's such proof of how ethically bankrupt they are.
Yeah.
That they all, or so many of them, think that he is a loose cannon and a danger and a con man and a reality show clown and a, you know, compulsive liar. They all think that. And yeah. yet, I mean, Marco Rubio is such a fantastic example. Yeah. The things that he has called Donald Trump, the things that he has correctly said about Donald Trump.
Right.
And yet, when pressed by Jake Tapper, well, look, will you support him? Well, I signed a pledge. So f***ing what, you signed a pledge?
Yeah.
That yeah. doesn't matter. This is about the future of the United States.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate example of idiots choosing party over country.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, for the Republican Party, this is a matter of triage now. It's a matter of stopping the gaping chest wound. It's not a matter anymore of winning in November. As far as I'm concerned, if I was a member of the Republican Party, I would be most concerned about preserving my party for the long run, because what this guy is doing, and it may not happen this year, it may not happen next year, but what he's done is he's effectively devalued 50% of the national conversation. He's turned it into, and we're going to play a clip here coming up in the show from last night's Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where he brought out Trump's nickname advisor. Yeah. This is this 11-year-old fat kid named Timmy. And it's outstanding comedy. I mean, that's what Donald Trump has injected into this. He's injected into what ought to be a serious conversation about serious issues. And I assume that conservatives think that these issues are serious. They've been screaming about them for 8 years. And turn all of this into just...
It's a circus. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a punchline.
It's absolutely a circus. And we've got the lead circus clown... with his name calling and his insults, and now we hear about his racist butler.
Yeah, well, amazing, like? Isn't it? Every day it's something new.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of layers to this story with the goddamn butler. The butler is crazy. Donald Trump's butler is crazy. Donald Trump's butler also has a Facebook page. And Donald Trump, I mean, this is the biggest deal as far as I'm concerned for the people who think Donald Trump is just like them. Donald Trump has a butler, for God's sake. I mean, who has a butler except for the millionaires and billionaires? But don't worry, he's just like you. Meanwhile, he's going around and he's meeting with Paul Ryan, and then the congressional Republicans are practically masturbating over Donald Trump. We're going to get to that story in a bit here. But here's what the butler wrote on Facebook. Donald Trump's butler. By the way, his name is Anthony Peter Senecal. And he writes, To all my friends on Facebook, just a short note to you on our pus-headed president.
Wow.
Pus-headed president. He's referring to Barack Obama as our pus-headed president.
Don't you like to imagine that he's sort of the stereotypical butler? So when he's saying this, it's like, our pus-headed president. Oh, that's a dandy.
That's right.
He kisses his own hand. Can't believe that came off my keyboard.
Yes, he's got a really long face, and he's got the little penciled in mustache and the towel over his left arm.
That is so droll.
This character, who I refer to as Zero, and then he puts in parentheses the number Zero.
Thanks.
Like, thank you for that. I'm glad we have that clarification. I'm not making that up. That's true. This character, who I refer to as Zero, should have been taken out by our military and shot as an enemy agent in his first term. Five exclamation marks after that. Instead, he still remains in office doing everything he can to gut the America we all know and love. Another 5 exclamation marks.
This sounds like a plant.
I know.
It does. This sounds like the kind of thing that, you know, Trump can't actually come out and say this. I mean, he can, but even that would get him, you know, there would be people who would really, you know, be disgusted by that. Now he's got to at least try to seem, I want to say somewhat presidential, but his butler can say whatever the
right.
So he can put his butler in the line of fire, like, because that's such a great little message. That whole this whole spiel plays so perfectly to Donald Trump's audience.
Right. And by the way,
and he does that often. Like, I genuinely, I don't know if he's cunning, but I think that people around him, and maybe he may be, in terms of media manipulation, he's very cunning. So maybe he knows, bringing on a white nationalist, a crazy white nationalist,
yeah,
for one of his delegates, and then turning around and saying, oh, you know what, that was a clerical error. It's so perfect,
yeah,
because it's like, hey, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, to all my racist friends, you know that I'm on your side, yeah, and you know that when I say that it's a clerical error, you know what I mean.
Right. And now he's wheeled out his butler as a surrogate to levy all these
right.
racist attacks exactly. and assassination fantasies. I just keep thinking of Donald Trump sitting at that long table like Clay Shaw in JFK with the little bell ringing for service, ringing the little bell, Frankie!
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you have, a long table, because the splendor of it adds to the enjoyment of the meal. Now comes Donald J. Trump to put an end to the corruption in government. 4 exclamation marks. The so-called elite, who are nothing but common dog turds from your front lawn, are shaking in their boots because there is a new sheriff coming to town. And the end to their corruption of the American people, in parentheses, you, is at hand. I cannot believe that a common murderer is even allowed to run. He says murder, not murderer. Is even allowed to run. And he, in parentheses, Hillary Clinton. Or that commie-like Bernie.
Yeah, this guy's a surrogate. This guy's like he's a plant.
And then it says, I'm going to try to read this exactly as it's written. Or that commie-like Bernie is also allowed to also run.
Wow. Thank you, Sarah Palin.
Right. Sarah Palin is butler?
Probably.
Come on, America, put your big boy pants on. This election, you have a choice. Get your ass out and vote. Thank you.
Well, campaign is one giant f***ing internet troll job. It's all one giant comment section from YouTube.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And that's really what this is. And that's, I think, like you said about discourse, that's the most depressing part about all of this.
Yeah.
With the rise of Trump, that idiocy, that, like, mm-hmm. you know, the online shrieker,
yeah,
those people have won.
Yeah, I mean, it might as well have
been...
They
now have a foothold. They now are the discourse.
I mean, it might as well have been written by Trump anyway, this entire thing, because he set the standard now.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way...
He made it okay.
And he's only capitalizing on what was already there. I mean, as we know, Donald Trump and his advisor sat and listened to AM talk radio for a week and basically devised Trump's entire campaign strategy based on that. And so that's what... we're not talking about a phenomenon that started now. And any member of the press, any pundit on cable television who said this is new, who says this is new and claims this is new, with the rise of Donald Trump is lying, because it's been going on in cable news for 20 years now. It's been going on AM talk radio for 30 years now, going back to the 80s with the rise of people like Morton Downey Jr. and then after him, Rush Limbaugh, and on and on and on. It's this kind of discourse that's been, that sort of set the table for Donald Trump and made it much easier for him to run and win. Because as we said last time, if this was a regular person, and this regular person was going around saying things like,
I know words, I have the best words,
people would think he's insane or just like an idiot, like he's had a chunk of his brain removed.
Yeah, this is the triumph of the shriekers.
Yep.
The triumph of the screamers, the idiots, the loudmouths, you know, the loudmouth bullies.
Right. Absolutely.
Whether they were the TV, you know, the Morton Downey Jr. types, or the talk radio types, or now by the millions, the internet types.
You know, not only is this guy talking about Hillary Clinton or accusing Bernie Sanders of being a commie, but I mean, the main thing is that he's imagining the assassination of the president. This character, who I refer to as Zero, in parentheses number Zero, should have been taken out by our military and shot as an enemy agent in his first term. An enemy agent.
An enemy agent.
Says Trump's personal Jeeves.
Uh-huh.
This reminded me of...
I believe he's an enemy agent.
This reminded me of... I was going back and listening to some old Butler sound. Yeah, I got all these sound clips that we play on the show. And I stumbled onto this from one of the quintessential episodes of Seinfeld.
You ever notice a lot of Butlers are named Jeeves? You know, I think when you name a baby Jeeves, you've pretty much mapped out his future, wouldn't you say? Not much chance he's going to be a hitman, I think, after that. Terribly sorry, sir, but I'm going to have to whack you.
Yeah, there it is. Yep. Jerry Seinfeld called it 30 years or 20 years ago. How about that?
It's just scary, man.
God,
it's
really
scary
is.
That this is where we are. We are on the precipice of that entire milieu getting a massive voice.
Yeah, and that's,
you know,
just
it already has a massive voice. But basically, yeah, the Donald Trump ascending to the White House would be the triumph of that, the absolute triumph of it.
Yeah,
and we would be a country from then on out. I mean, we already are, to be quite honest.
And that's just it. That's what we're on the precipice of right now. And that's why I'm going to be so vocal between now and November in just trying to relentlessly annihilate Donald Trump. Because this is, again, this is not just about the climate crisis. This isn't just about reproductive rights. This isn't just about the Supreme Court. This is a battle.
It's the soul of America.
It's the soul of America. This is a battle
for the soul of America.
It's basically rational, decent discourse versus an explosion of idiocracy. That's the two roads that we're facing at this point. And it's kind of scary to know that that Hillary Clinton is basically the only person that stands between us and just a limitless hellscape of a Donald Trump future in the United States, where this is basically our national anthem now. Get used to it. They're going to be playing this before baseball games. Oh, God. All right.
And you know something? And here's the thing. Sarah Palin paved the way for Donald Trump.
That's exactly right.
And so, you know what? God knows who Donald Trump will pave the way for. Because once you've lowered the bar, you know?
Yeah, once you've lowered the bar and been effective with it. He lowered the bar and won the nomination.
Yep, exactly.
What kind of signal is that sending? Remember back in 2012, really, really early in the 2012 campaign cycle, maybe even going back to 2010, after the rise of the Tea Party and all the rage and screeching that was going on with that. Yeah. Remember all those sort of mid-level politicians, some state-level politicians who were like cultivating the Glenn Beck personality during this? There was one guy, I remember one guy delivering a speech before a small gathering of, I don't know, city council people, and he was acting just like Glenn Beck. And then there was a series of commercials that were, you know, it was like people talking about shooting the other candidate's balls off, or, you know, shooting the legislation that their opponent passed, or Joni Ernst talking about castrating pigs, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that was all sort of prelude to what we're seeing now. Now, imagine Donald Trump successfully running. I can't imagine some of these state and local races this year. with all of the Republicans, the impressionable Republicans, imitating Donald Trump at their local level. Yeah. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to happen, if not now, it's going to happen in the off-season election in 2017. It's going to happen again in the midterms in 2018, and on and on and on. And it's only going to get worse unless it stops here. Unless Donald Trump is utterly and completely humiliated at the polling place, and the Republican Party has to go, you know, they have to go to the mattresses and re-strategize their entire approach because they have been devastated electorally. That's what I want to happen. But you know what? Already they're congealing around this guy. We're going to have a story here in a second after we take a break. Trump met with Paul Ryan today, and after they emerged, every prominent Republican, congressional Republican, lined up to kiss Trump's ass. Yep. If you think this party is going to go in split, think again. They are unifying around this guy just like they would, just like they did with Mitt Romney, just like they did with John McCain, just like they did with George W. Bush.
They're behaving as if he's a regular candidate.
Exactly. Exactly. They're like, hey, great. Well, why not? Why not Donald Trump? All right, let's talk about some shaving razors here, huh? Not just any shaving razors, mind you. Harry's razors, the best razors I've ever used on my face. I used them again today, got a clean, close shave. Man, there's nothing quite like a shave that, you know, you get your face all smooth and no razor burn. Harry's offers high-quality, German-engineered shaves that are better for your face and your wallet. About half the price. I mean, it's unbelievable. Half the price of other big brands' blades. And the quality is triple what you would imagine from those blades in those locked glass cases. And plus, they ship right to your front door. Plus, bonus, you don't have to go to the customer service counter and have them unlock those blades for you. Or if you're going to a big box store for some reason, they have them locked up on the rack. This is makes zero sense. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half price at Harrys.com? They have a starter set. It's an amazing deal. $15. You get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to Harrys.com and enter the promo code BANDC for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey, welcome back to our Thursday show. Thank you for joining us today at patreon.com/Bob and Chez and BobSuska.com. So Trump met with the Speaker of the House today, Paul Ryan. And Paul Ryan seems to be satisfied with the results of the meeting.
Of course he is.
He said, United States... Oh, they released a joint statement that said... the Speaker of the House of Representatives released a joint statement with circus clown Donald Trump. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. Quote, the United States cannot afford another 4 years of the Obama White House, which is what Hillary Clinton represents.
How absolutely amazing. They live in a completely different world.
They really, really do.
Dear God, in their world, Obama is this horrid dictator who's destroyed this country.
Yeah.
When he has done exactly the opposite.
Exactly the opposite. I mean, the stereotype, if you again, it's about being in that Fox News Channel AM talk radio bubble where there's an entirely different and completely irrational and off-base perception of what's going on in the rest of the world. And part of that is that Barack Obama is this erratic, effete weakling who's done nothing but capitulate and apologize for America and blah, blah, blah. It's a big mess. You know what? Policy is put aside Barack Obama's agenda and just look at him as a president. And this is germane exactly to what we're talking about with regards to Trump. Look at how Barack Obama has carried himself as president of the United States for 8 years. Yeah, it hasn't always been flawless. And oh, my God, he wore a tan suit one time. But he has carried himself with dignity, with zero personal scandals. He's an amazing family man. He's extraordinarily well-spoken in speeches and in off-the-cuff interviews. The guy walks around with an air of respect and dignity about him that is completely befitting of the office of the President of the United States.
Absolutely. Everything that you just said, yes. And he's got class. He's cool. Much more than those sort of intangible things, he's competent. He's hyper-competent. Yes. He really has his shit together, and he's done incredible things with the presidency and with this country. I mean, dear God, you know, it sounds like a silly thing, but I went to fill up my fucking car last night, and gas here in Los Angeles, it's $2.73 a gallon.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Which is like extraordinary.
Up here,
because I remember in the year 2000 when I lived here, I remember gas was $5.50 a gallon.
Oh yeah, I absolutely remember in the days when I was watching CNBC. I remember all those spazzy white guys in Lower Manhattan predicting $10 a gallon gas.
Right. Well, guess what? We don't have that. And guess what? The unemployment rate dropped. And guess what? The stock market's high.
Yeah. I mean, everything that was down is up again, and everything that, you know, this is like the old Al Gore stump speech. Everything that's down is up, and everything that's up and should be, you know, whatever it is. But I mean, all the indicators point to Barack Obama having a successful 8 years. All of the economic indicators point in that direction. It's undeniable. But even if you set aside all of that, even if you set aside the record, it's just about the way he carries himself. Right. Are we embarrassed by how he comports himself on the national and international stage?
Unless you're a Fox News watching raving fucking internet lunatic, are you embarrassed by Barack Obama?
Meanwhile, the guy they want to replace him may not believe a goddamn thing he says. Plus, he goes around saying this.
I know words. I have the best words.
Yeah, he's a vacuous fucking bully. Yeah,
right. And you know what? Mostly, it's because they want to save the fetuses. It really comes down to that. I mean, a lot of these, especially social conservatives.
Right, these people are still fighting culture wars.
Yeah, exactly. Right now, it's all about saving the fetuses, and it's all about the Toity Patrol.
Yeah, make America white and Christian again.
Right. That's their priority right now. And so for those ends, they've elevated this guy, Donald Trump, to be their nominee. Again, the guy who back in 2012 asked Meatloaf if he should run for president, and Meatloaf said, of course,
absolutely.
Meatloaf. Here's how the congressional Republicans reacted to today's meeting between Donald Trump and Paul Ryan. Orrin Hatch said, he was like I've always known. Very straightforward. Very open about what he believes. Very cordial. What Orrin Hatch needs is a few more varies in there if he really wants to stack up to Trump.
He's obviously been, he was obviously around Trump since he's very, very cordial, you know what? Believe me. Very cordial. Very smart.
Yeah. He's got the best words.
I know words. I have the best words.
Right. He has the best words. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be us. That's going to be that's the dawn of the idiocracy.
Yep.
Because everyone is going to start talking like this moron. Mm-hmm.
And of course, when Republican leadership starts talking like that, then the broader Republican voter goes off and they say the same thing.
You know what's sad? Something I've never really considered. Maybe I'll write this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine, as someone who has a 7-year-old daughter, what it would be like to have to sort of look her in the eye and tell her that Donald Trump is president of the United States, or have her see it for herself,
right,
that this idiot, this buffoon who makes fun of women and, you know, who mocks people who he believes are beneath him, and this intolerant prick.
Yeah.
That guy, this classless bozo, that guy is the president of the United States.
Yeah.
What kind of message does that send to kids?
Horrible message. Horrible.
It used
horrible
to be.
Message.
I mean, I remember that when I was a kid, it was like, you know, you can become president of the United States, and there was this stateliness about it. There was this wow, you know what? Only the best and brightest. That was a compliment to say you can become president of the United States.
That's right.
If you work hard, if you're smart, if you dedicate yourself, and now the response would be, why? I don't need to do that. All I need to do is be a fucking bozo.
That's exactly right.
I'm the bully, the class bully. The teacher gets to say that to the class bully. You know what? Keep that up. You can be president of the United States.
That's right. All I need to do is act like Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You know, where my dad told me I can have anything I want for my birthday.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I?
Paul Ryan and Trump today.
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
I guess Paul Ryan would be the Pee Wee Herman in that equation. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Aim low, kids.
Yeah, aim low.
Aim low. See those recess bullies? Be like them, and you'll be president of the United States. Hatch went on to say, I've always been impressed, but I was really impressed today.
Exactly. He is becoming Trump. He's just using a bunch of superlatives.
Meanwhile, Big John Cornyn said... he is actually a pretty affable guy, much different than sort of the public demeanor.
Oh my God.
Is actually English from a sitting senator. Very much different than sort of the public demeanor, but must be working for him.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. Roger Wicker said, I was very good. This is a senator who's also the NRSC chairman. Said it was a very gracious and positive meeting, and I already feel pretty good about it, but I feel even better. It was a good back and forth. Everything is good and very.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, you know what? They went in there and Trump, like, you know, Trump pulled like he hit them with the Men in Black flasher.
Right.
You know, something he brainwashed them. They came out. He's like an alien. They came out and they're now like very good, big, beautiful wall.
Yeah. The only negative thing, this is as close to negative as the reactions got. John Cornyn continued to say, I think they've got some work to do on the policy front. Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
He knows nothing about policy. This is the guy, again, repeating what we were talking about on Tuesday. This is the guy with all that executive and business experience who can cut great deals. This is the guy who's going to defraud bondholders.
Yeah.
The most conservative, safest investment that anyone can buy into around the world are U.S. bonds. And that's what composes the bulk of the national debt. And Trump wants to give them 50 cents on the dollar? Does he know anything? To do on the policy front? Are you effing kidding me? The people who are going to shut down the government and did shut down the government over the national debt have now nominated someone who doesn't even know how the debt works. Jesus Christ. All right, going to take another break and continue tearing Trump apart right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the after party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at BobSeska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Absolutely.
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSeska.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. Go do it now. Go shopping. Have some fun. Buy some things while you listen to the show and go through the BobSeska.com Amazon link. It costs you nothing and helps support the show. Thank you for that. All right, continuing on here, Trump's name has come up like 3,000 times in the Panama Papers. Are you familiar with the Panama Papers?
Yes.
This it's basically like the new version of the Pentagon Papers, but all about offshore investing and tax shelters and things like that. Donald Trump is mentioned in there 3,540 times.
Oh boy.
Nice. This report says that Trump's name is linked to a whopping 32 offshore companies, including the Trump Ocean Club International Hotel and Tower in Panama. That's the name of an actual place, the Trump Ocean Club International Hotel and Tower in Panama. His name appears 3,540 times in the database, but we should note that this doesn't mean he was directly involved, as his name and branding has been sold to other investors. Merely having your name on this list and using offshore companies isn't illegal in and of itself, but it is a tactic often used by the rich to avoid paying taxes, you know, because he's just like you, America. Add this to Trump's refusal to share any of his tax returns, and it starts looking like a really big problem for Donald Trump. And that's exactly right. He's refusing to release his tax returns, which seems like something that we talk about every time there's a presidential election. One way or another, the Republican decides, F it. They don't need to see my tax returns. I mean, but even Mitt Romney eventually releases his tax returns long before Election Day. But I don't think Donald Trump's ever going to do it, because Donald Trump's got way, way too much to hide. People are really going to start to see, I think, what he's really all about on the business front.
Right.
I mean, all the write-offs based on failed businesses and losses are going to be huge on those tax returns. It's just going to be a royal mess. Meanwhile, Donald Trump came up with a super clever nickname for Bernie Sanders.
I saw that, yes.
He's loaded with nicknames, isn't he? He's always got the best nicknames. He's got the best nicknames.
Yeah. That's going to be another trend that starts because of Donald Trump.
Yep.
In the new Idiocracy, instead of our names being like, you know, a product, we're all going to have some sort of you know, stupid patronizing, bullying adjective or stupid insult attached to our first names.
That's absolutely right. And thank you, Trump, for that. There was, of course,
from now on, I'm going to be Dour Chez.
There was going to be Lion Ted. You can add Dour Chez to the list here. Lion Ted, Little Marco, Crooked Hillary. We heard over the weekend about Goofy Elizabeth Warren. And now there's Crazy Bernie. Donald Trump tweeted the other day. In fact, it was yesterday. I don't want to hit Crazy Bernie Sanders too hard yet, because I love watching what he is doing to Crooked Hillary.
Wow.
Mm.
I know words. I have the best words.
Right. He's got great words.
Yep.
Oh God, just horrendous.
Disaster.
By the way, there's 30,000 likes there, 9,901 retweets. So Trump's brainwashed legion of Obama derangement syndrome suffering ghouls think his moronic nicknames are awesome. These are people, I got to throw that challenge out there. Seriously, go around, talk to your friends, people who may not necessarily be involved in the whole political debate, and just say to them, you know what, I'm voting for Donald Trump. But he has the best words. He refers to Bernie Sanders as Crazy Bernie. That's who I'm voting for. And see if they're still your friends. See if they don't like look at you askance and say, what is your issue? Do you have a real, are you okay? Are you feeling okay?
Are you having an aneurysm?
Yeah. I wrote this in a Daily Banter piece yesterday. I said, go into a job interview. Seriously. I mean, if you're looking for a job and you're taking job interviews right now and you happen to be a Republican Trump supporter, go into the next job interview and tell your prospective boss that you have the best words. then perform a bug-eyed mocking impression of a disabled person. See whether you get the job or if you're summarily ejected from the premises by security. Seriously, the thing with the reporter, Serge Kovaleski, the thing that Trump did, that's going to be, to me, as far as this thing that I'm doing between now and Election Day where I'm just going to go after Trump, that's going to be sort of the flag. I'm just going to make a flag out of that image of Donald Trump mocking Serge Kovaleski.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
To me, it represents everything horrible about Donald Trump. The look on his face, what he's doing with his arms, his little anus mouth. It's all that stuff that perfectly illustrates what Donald Trump is all about. Just horrendous. Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That's who he is. And the Republicans, again, are proud of this nominee. The congressional Republicans rallying around Donald Trump. He's very good. He's very impressive. He's much better than I thought he would be. Good. Well spoken.
Yep. And that's going to be the narrative from them. That, you know what? You don't know the real Donald Trump. They're basically an abused spouse at this point.
Exactly.
No. You know what? Behind closed doors, he's really great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They have to rally around this guy in order to save the fetuses and continue on with their ridiculous toity patrol. Speaking of that, Greg Abbott has weighed in on the toity patrol situation in North Carolina.
Let me guess. It's all a plot to take over Texas.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that after last break, back after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Thank you, Buzz. All right. Welcome back to the Thursday show. We're going to talk about Greg Abbott here in a second and his contribution to the North Carolina Toity Patrol. But first, there was a hilarious segment. I mean, Stephen Colbert nailed the whole Trump nickname thing last night on Late Show. And what I want to do is play the meat of that segment in which he brought out Timmy, Donald Trump's, I guess, nickname advisor, insult advisor. Here's Stephen Colbert interviewing 11-year-old Timmy, who's now Trump's newest nickname advisor.
So this nickname strategy of Trump's has been effective. But the question is, will it work for the general election? Well, here to discuss the issue is Donald Trump's chief nickname strategist, Timmy Jenkins. Timmy, thank you so much for joining me. Timmy, thanks for being here. Have a seat. Now, Timmy, tell me, how do you come up with these nicknames?
Well, I've had over 5 years of playground experience making nerds cry, and that's really fun. Also, I once made Andy Sanson change schools.
Well, that's impressive. Okay, so why do you think, Timmy, tell me, why do you think these nicknames catch on so well?
Well, Stephen, we have had top focus group testing. we don't pull this out of our hats. You know, our first choice wasn't Little Marco. First, we started with Sweaty Marco, and then we went to Dia Rubio, and it's true, and then we tried Marco Bubio, and off the charts for a little bit, we actually called him Marco Pubio.
Wow, so all of that research just for one candidate.
Oh, Stephen, don't be naive. We do this much preparation for all candidates. Mm-hmm. You know, if Rand Paul was still in the race, we would have called him Bland Balls. Yes. And, you know, we also did this for Carly Pierina, Jeb Tush, Ted Poos, Snotwalker, and Ass Kisty.
Wait, hold on. Wait a second. Make sure you get that last one right. Ass Kisty? Is that Chris Christie?
Duh.
But he's an ally of yours. Does he know you call him that?
He does now.
Well, Timmy, I mean, obviously you're an expert in the field, but are these types of juvenile tactics really good for our democracy?
Well, that's an interesting question. Let me think about that for a minute. Stinky cold butt.
Hey.
No, I can smell you from over here. The host of the lame show with steaming coal farts.
Stop it, Timmy. Stop it.
I'll stop it when you stop hitting yourself.
What are you talking about? I'm not hitting. Hey.
Are you gonna cry, you little baby?
No, I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I hate politics.
Make America great again, butt faces!
We'll be right back with Kate Beckinsale.
There it is. My favorite are, of course, Marco Pubio and Snot Walker.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? Look, when it comes right down to it, it's okay for, you know, people on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, commenters and comment sections of blog posts and things like that, to engage in this kind of crap. It's always happened. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the Republic and people have always insulted political candidates. But when it comes from the nominee for president of the United States, that's the new territory we're delving into now. He's basically mainstreaming internet trolls.
Exactly. That's it. That's exactly what he's doing.
Mainstreaming that behavior. Jesus Christ. All right. So moving along here, conspiracy theorist Greg Abbott has spoken up to defend North Carolina's Toity Patrol, is what I'm calling it. He's ready to, apparently, according to a Talking Points memo, he's ready to fight back for North Carolina's anti-LGBT bill. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday said that he'll support North Carolina in its legal battle with the federal government over the controversial new anti-LGBT law. Quote, I'm working with the governor of North Carolina and we're going to fight back, Abbott said during his speech at the Texas Republican Convention. He lamented that, quote, Obama is turning bathrooms into courtroom issues. Abbott has been at the forefront of state legal actions against the Obama administration, first as attorney general and now as governor. He led several states in suing the federal government over President Obama's executive actions on immigration. And, of course, he was really pissed off about Jade Helm. But the funny thing about this is, of course, as always with the Republicans, it's the projection. They're blaming this now on Obama. Obama didn't pass this anti-LGBT law. Obama didn't start all this crap about bathrooms. Basically, what's been happening at the state level, and haven't we always said, isn't this about states' rights? Aren't conservatives always talking about states' rights? State and local governments are the ones passing these non-discrimination laws. And now people like Greg Abbott, people like the North Carolina governor are lining up to roll that back. What they're doing is they're, in some cases, they're making it illegal for local governments to pass non-discrimination laws, that only the state government can pass laws with regard to that. And of course, they're all run by Republicans and they're never going to do it.
Yeah.
They're basically what conservatives say about states' rights at the federal level. No, we can't. We should leave it up to the states. Rand Paul and Ron Paul and all those guys do that. Most of the conservative movement does that, too. But what they're doing at the state level is they're not letting the local governments make up their own minds on discrimination. That's one of the many things they're doing. And then they pass this law. And then it becomes a whole toity thing. When the ship has already sailed, 17 states, 225 cities in the United States, zero cases of people either dressing up as women, going in there, molesters dressing up as women and taking advantage of these laws to go in and molest people, or actual trans people going into the wrong bathroom and molesting
children. This is a controversy in search of an actual problem.
Exactly. But the bizarre and frustrating thing about it is now it's all Obama's fault. Why is Obama doing this? Why is Obama making a big issue out of the toilets? But see, he's not. It's you guys doing that. You're making a big issue out of making sure the toilets are free of molesters when, in fact, there are multiple laws on the books across the country that makes it illegal to molest people in bathrooms, regardless of who you identify as or what you identify as. It's illegal already. I don't know what the issue is here. It's already illegal to molest kids, to kidnap kids, to ogle women, et cetera, in the women's bathroom. And I guess vice versa in the men's bathroom, if that ever actually happens. Women going into the men's bathroom and ogling little boys. But the fact of the matter is that that is already illegal.
I laugh at that. I know. Yes, my first reaction is, that's funny.
Right. Okay, so that's that. Thank you. And finally, We finally heard from Dan Quayle, who's weighed in on the 2016
wow,
race.
Yeah, thanks. I love how you put finally in there.
Finally.
Like we've been waiting all this time to hear from Dan Quayle again.
Well, haven't I
so
been saying that?
That is like, that is honestly, this quote from him, or just the fact that he reemerged to speak, is just the icing on the shit cake of this election cycle.
No.
It's almost like, all right, you know what? We need that one final thing to make this just the biggest fucking clown show the country or the world has ever seen. And you know what? Dan Quayle had something to say today. Yep, there it is.
There it is. There it is. Finally, Dan Quayle has given us his sign of the cross, anointed the whole thing with his holy water of stupidity, and he's discussing the state of the Republican Party right now in the presidential campaign. He said of Donald Trump, he's more qualified in the sense the American people, I think, want an outsider. And they want an outsider this time. She's not an outsider. So if you're looking for an outsider, no, she's not qualified, and he is. Well, being an outsider versus being an insider is completely irrelevant with regards to being qualified or not. I mean, how does being an insider disqualify you from being president?
He's saying that this is what the voters want. They want outsiders. That's the big that's the big buzzword.
Well, whatever. I mean, Dan Quayle was a United States senator. His boss in 1988 through 1992 was the vice president and then the president of the United States. There was no greater insider than George H.W. Bush, the guy who put Dan Quayle on the effing map.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's bad now to be an insider in some way. Jesus Christ. He said Trump knows full well that the general election is a different operation than the primary in terms of rhetoric. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I can tell. So far, looks that way.
Yeah, by all indications, you know, talking about goofy Elizabeth and crazy Bernie, he's totally changing his tone. Just look out, people. Jesus Christ. I mean, the tone of the Republican on the Republican side is basically this right now.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a nerd.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're an idiot.
I know you are, but what am I?
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 I know you are, but what am I? Infinity.
I love, you know what I love about that? I love that it goes on a beat too long.
Oh, I think it goes on far too long. Much more than a beat.
Oh, you're not a fan of Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
You know what? Pee-wee's Big Adventure is a great movie. It really is. That, yes. For some reason, there are certain things about it, though, that I'm just like, at my age, I think I'm just kind of like, shut up. Please stop.
I know. I'm not even going to bother watching the new Netflix one. It just looks painful to me. I understand it's, some people have said it's actually pretty funny. Mm. I just have no motivation to watch that. All right. Mm. Meanwhile, once again, John Boehner, now that he's no longer any sort of leader in the Republican Party, is now speaking his mind. Thanks, John.
Right. Where were you?
Yeah. Referred to the Tea Party Freedom Caucus as knuckleheads. So basically, here's the audio illustration.
Wow, strong language there from John Boehner.
Yeah. Steve Ratner asked John Boehner about the Freedom Caucus. John Boehner reacted, knuckleheads. We call them knuckleheads. And, of course, illustrated in sound, it would be this. Knuckleheads. That's the knucklehead sound. That's the sound that the Freedom Caucus makes when they all get together and talk about knuckleheaded things. Yep. Boehner also said, I did my best to bring our party together, but I don't know what the knuckleheads want. Still to this day, I don't know. You know, for God's sake, at some point, if there are anyone, and I know lots of Republican leadership are tuned into this podcast, but if there's anyone listening in from the Republican leadership or any member of Congress who happens to be a Republican and might agree with John Boehner, speak up now. Now is when you talk. Now is when you say these things, not after you retire. There's too much at stake for you to just stay silent about the stupid knucklehead caucus.
But again, that's another example of... Yeah. Choosing party unity or what's good for what, you know, with the good of the party over the good of the country.
Exactly.
You know, I signed a pledge. Yep. Oh, you know what? I'm a Republican. I can't speak out about other Republicans.
He went on to say, this is John Boehner, went on to say, shutting down the government to get rid of Obamacare might have been about the dumbest thing I ever saw. Boehner, once again, criticizing Ted Cruz, said, thank God that guy from Texas didn't win. Boehner also said, Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee, whether people like it or not. Well, that's not the answer. If you think these guys are knuckleheads, John, don't try to backpedal on Trump. Trump is the lord of the knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Does Boehner agree with the temporary Muslim ban? Quote, no. Building a wall at the Mexican border? No. Deploying tariffs on trade? No. Basically, Boehner says he disagrees with Trump on all of his top-line policy positions, but Trump is the nominee. He supports the nominee, even though he's an effing knucklehead. Thanks. Thank you, John Boehner. And by thank you, I mean something else. All right, we've got a big, 10 minutes. I guess that's big. We've got a big postmortem show coming up next. You want to listen to the postmortem? If you don't know what the postmortem show is, here's what it is. After this theme song ends, Chess and I keep talking for about another 10 minutes. Yep. So we excise that out and we put it up on patreon.com/Bob and Chess. And you can listen to Extra Show if you sign up at the $5 level at patreon.com/Bob and Chess or click the Patreon link at the top of bobseska.com. And you get to hear two of those every week. If you sign up at the $10 level, you get two of those shows, two postmortem shows, plus the after party, the $10 level. That's our Friday profanity-filled show. And if you sign up at $15, you get the two postmortem shows, you get the after party, plus you get a commercial-free, not safe for work, unbleeped version of this show. Oh, it's also, did I say commercial-free? Yeah, it's commercial-free, too. All right, that's right. It's at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We're going to talk about, on the postmortem show, we're going to talk about, oh my God, there's an Intercept thing that I want to talk about. From
oh, really?
The Intercept.
You read The Intercept at some point?
I couldn't help it.
You were the one?
Yeah. I blame Joshua Faust on Twitter for pointing this out to me. Journalist Josh Faust noticed something on The Intercept that's worthy of discussion, I think. Plus, maybe Rudy Giuliani in the news today. Thank God. Rudy Giuliani's been absorbed into the Trumposphere.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to yell at Nate Silver here a little bit in the postmortem show. That's coming up next. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you there. If not, we'll see you on the after party tomorrow, Friday. Bye-bye, folks.